Thanks, Matt. Good afternoon, everybody. Firstly, actually, I would like to congratulate Matt and Vencorp on Vision 2030. I think it's an outstanding document, very innovative, and does provide a fair bit of leadership in this industry for us, and it's something that, as an industry participant, we thought has been quite useful. So I think that's something that is a bit of a trailblazer for the sector. I'll talk to you a little bit about who and what SP AusNet is, the role in the industry, how we're our role in contributing to meeting the demand in Victoria, that, and some of which Matt's already talked about, and just the way we plan and go about doing those expansions and growth in the sector in Victoria. SP AusNet is actually an amalgam of three businesses that were created at the time of privatisation in Victoria, both in the electricity and the gas sector. So we own the and manage the electricity transmission business throughout the whole of Victoria. So we interconnect into New South Wales and South Australia and hopefully very shortly into Tasmania. We're regulated by the AER, or previously the ACCC. And on the distribution side, we have the what was the Eastern Electricity Distribution assets of what was TXU. That covers the whole of the eastern part of Victoria, and the gas distribution business on the western part of Victoria, regulated by the ESC in Victoria. Our areas cover the amongst the fastest growing network areas in Victoria. We connect into about a million customers, so we don't have retail customers, so they can't thank us for their bills, but we do have a physical connection to them. And we do have a fairly strong duty of care in terms of the service and the services that we do provide to them. So we do have a lot of diversity in that asset between energies, gas and electricity, and sector of transmission and distribution, and even regulators, national and state, although the state one's a better pull. In terms of our history in Australia, since Singapore Power acquired PowerNet initially in 2000 from GPU, GPU being the first round acquirer of these assets in Victoria through the privatisation process. Singapore Power within acquired the TXU business in July 2004. We restructured that business and divested the merchant energy business in May 2005. We then combined the networks businesses of transmission and distribution and gas into one brand called SP AusNet, and we IPO'd that business in December 2005. We do have significant growth in our business within Victoria, as Matt's already outlined, the growth in the area of about 2.5%. Our mandate really is to grow the business in Victoria, but also look for national and international opportunities both here in Australia and New Zealand. And we think there's strong opportunities there for us in the future. If you look at the evolution of the market here particularly in Victoria, but broadly nationally, the sector's really broken up into four bits comprising generation, transmission, distribution and retailing. And the market really, even though it wasn't originally set up this way through privatisation in Victoria, the market's gradually evolved into the competitive sectors combining generation and retail, and the providers of infrastructure assets, the owners of transmission and distribution, gas, distribution. And that's for both electricity and gas. As I said, in this structure, we don't have customers per se. We don't bill customers, but we do have a very strong duty of care, and our ability to deliver high-quality services to our connected customers, both electricity and gas, is really a very strong focus of the way we run our business. In terms of what our objectives are as a business and an infrastructure provider in Victoria, obviously, we aim to improve operational efficiency. It's a very strong focus for us. Enhance the performance of our energy network business through organic growth. Matt's talked a little bit about that, but we've got strong growth in both electricity and gas throughout Victoria. And invest in high-quality networks, both nationally and internationally. We'll do this by keeping a very strong focus on health, safety and environment, long-term values for our security holders, continually chasing those efficiencies and long-term asset sustainability. It's a bit of a theme for me, and I'll talk a little bit more about it later, but the sustainability or the continuity of these businesses going into the future is very, very paramount, and I think we do have a very strong responsibility to look at these assets in the long term, not in the near term. Some of the key focus areas for us include network augmentation and sustainability, as I mentioned, and that's really meeting the demand from existing customers and new customers, both gas and electricity, and the opportunity to grow this business. Network reliability in terms of replacing aged infrastructure, and Matt talked about that a bit, we do have pretty old assets and they do continually age. So unlike us all here, they do get old and narky. So we do not only have to focus on the growth but also maintaining the performance of those existing assets. And some of them are 40, 50, 60 years old. So that's a very strong responsibility that we do have. That really keeps our mind on network reliability and servicing our customers the best we can. We also need to improve our efficiency. So we look at opportunities for improvement in efficiencies, given the fact that we own the three businesses, and look for all those opportunities as we can. One of the points I'd like to make here, I guess, is in achieving this model in a sustainable fashion, we do need key partners, and I do see that one of our key partners in this are the regulators. I think they've got a big role in ensuring the long-term sustainability of the infrastructure. The industry does need certainty in regulatory process and certainty in regulatory rules, and it does need the incentives to deliver the benefits. So in response to that, we will provide the investment and the skill base and the ability to deliver these services into the future. We do have the ability to support the demand growth. In Victoria, as Matt said, we do have a very strong demand growth happening. In terms of our ability to respond to network expansion, we do so by providing that infrastructure. With transmission augmentation, Vencorp in Victoria is the planner of that augmentation. So as demand grows and the infrastructure required for transmission, electricity transmission is required, Vencorp would go through that planning process. And we would deliver that service as required. It is a unique model. I don't think there's a similar model worldwide, but it does seem to work reasonably well here. It does work with a lot of cooperation and coordination between the AusNet Group and Vencorp, but nevertheless, the evidence I would suggest over the last 10 years shows that it does work and does deliver benefits across the board. Just pinching or plagiarising some of Matt's data, in terms of the growth in Victorian demand, you see the growth in those charts, and you don't need to worry about the details, but it does point to the fact that we have, over the near term, the next 4 or 5 years, a sustainable 2.5% growth in demand for electricity, and even going out further, about 1.9 to 2% growth. So that does need capital investment, constant capital investment. As Matt said, this is also a very peaky network in Victoria, so we do need to develop the infrastructure and maintain the existing infrastructure to meet those short-term high peak demands. It's also worth noting that in terms of capital investment, there were late last year, Vencorp went through a tendering process. So in Victoria, we have contestable transmission work, and there were two major augmentation projects in one in metropolitan Melbourne and one in the Geelong area, and we're successful in tendering for those projects. So that's about a $60 million group of work, but it contributes to the development of the transmission network in Victoria for the long term. Once again, talking about what's driving that growth, there is a continual growth in air conditioning demand. Air conditioners do put a very strong demand on networks, particularly at times of high temperature. And they're usually for short durations, and there aren't particularly any great signals at the moment to curtail that growth in demand. So we do see through Vencorp's analysis that growth and that penetration of gas, of air conditioning in the electricity market here is quite strong and quite continuing. Just looking at our the actual business that AusNet runs in terms of its interaction with the growth corridors, the two right-hand bubbles there, and the colours are a little bit murky, but in Victoria, the far eastern corridors there of Pakenham and Cranbourne, and the far northern areas of Plenty and Epping North, amongst the fastest growing network areas in Victoria. We're responding in terms of our commitment to growing those networks in anticipation of the demand and the growing in housing and development in those areas. We also have out on the eastern part of the state, on the western part of the state, the fastest growing gas network businesses. So the Caroline Springs and Werribee are growing quite rapidly in terms of our gas networks. the issues for us really are those of how do we finance these assets, this development, and also the access to skills and materials to it. The market is very, very hot. So we are dealing with the constant issue of having to find the skill base to deal with these in a continuing sense. Just some of the examples of more recent projects that we've dealt with in terms of to meet customer demand. That top left one is the growth, the Northern Growth Corridor. We've got a number of projects there over the next 30 years, currently growing at about 2.5% per annum. That's about 215% over the next 30 years. So the peak loading in that area will go from about 142 megawatts to about 430 megawatts by 2035. We also have the extension of our gas networks into the western part of Victoria. The government in Victoria has co-sponsored the rolling out of natural gas to regional centres in Victoria. That's about rolling out gas to about 12 regional centres around western Victoria at a cost of about $60 million, and that's a very significant growth in the penetration of gas into regional Victoria. Another project that we've recently completed is at the Cranbourne level. It's the first major transformation station, 500 kV to 220 kV and then 220 kV down to 66 kV development in the eastern part of Melbourne, or in Cranbourne. I think that's the first new terminal station I think we've built for about 20 years. And now additionally we have additional works, as I've mentioned previously, at Roval and Moorabool, which will support further growth in transmission in Victoria. Just to focus a little bit on the sorts of things that we're talking about in terms of efficiency that we can create. Having acquired the three businesses that we have, transmission, electricity, distribution and gas, one of the things that we have done is try to capitalise on that and create one state-of-the-art control centre. So it's effectively the nerve centre or the brain box that runs the three networks. And having the flexibility of having people manned in the same area, hopefully at some stage common platforms across the board, is a great attribute that we can bring having acquired those three businesses. As I said, we would like to believe that the incentive to do that would remain and allow us to do these sorts of things into the future. We also have a very strong program now called Fusion internally, which we're trying to meld together the cultures of the transmission, distribution and gas businesses into one and create our own SP AusNet business going forward. Now for the sales pitch. This is the business attributes of SP AusNet. One of the things that we always say is this is a very high quality business. It's a fairly simple structure that we listed. There's no complexity, there's no artificial structure to it. We do have a very strong management team, and we actually own 100% of the assets that we listed. So one of the features of that is that investors do actually get direct access to myself and their management team here, who on our other days run the assets, and we deal with regulators and we deal with the people issue. So there's a very, very close correlation between investors and the way we run the business. The regulated nature of the revenues gives us very strong and predictable cash flows. We have a very strong growth rate of about 2.5%, and we do maintain a very stable credit rating at debt profile and maintaining a rating in the A area. The growth opportunities for us are also very strong. There is strong demand for both organic, to meet organic demand, but also we are focused on the opportunities that may arise in Australia and in New Zealand and elsewhere if need be. We think we're very well positioned both as an operator and to be able to, with a cost-efficient cost of capital, deal with these acquisitions in a very financially responsible manner. We also do focus on the fact that the distributions coming out of this listed entity are very tax-effective. The last point here that we would focus on also is while we translated Singapore Power from an owner to a 51% shareholder, nevertheless, they do provide a very strong input into the business. We have the ability to tap into the resources at SP via a management company, and that does provide us some great strength in future opportunities. That's about all I was going to cover, but I'd just in finishing like to say that I do believe the energy outlook for Victoria is very positive. I think the industry is responding and providing the infrastructure to meet the demand. There is constant pressure in terms of skills and meeting customers' expectations. But as far as SP AusNet's concerned, we're committed and we're here for the long term. We do desire regulatory stability and certainty and the incentives, and we do welcome regulators as partners into this business into the future. So thank you very much.